Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Eric, I think we need to switch our song now that Cody's really popular. WWE might be hit with some shit at some point. I like it, but of course, Cody's listening.
No, yeah, I get it.
But everyone
I'll do my coming next week or something.
Okay. But we are here, the Unscripted crew. I'm Dan, by the way, and I'm here with my brother, Dougie.
Yo, aren't we wrestling through the years now, though?
Did I say Unscripted?
Mm-hmm.
We are wrestling through the years. The new podcast is going to take some time to get used to.
I know.
Welcome to the Wrestling Through the Years podcast, technically episode 2, but you've been following us. We've been doing this for a few years now, guys. And now Eric's here, too. Say hi, Eric.
What's up?
And we're the Wrestling Through the Years podcast. Make sure to check us out. Our Facebook group, Wrestling Through the Years, with quite a few people in it. Join the community because it's a fun one. Tonight we have a special episode. We're going to be doing our top 10 things in wrestling that we think should have worked. To give a bit of a preface for this, it's basically angles that we thought should have worked, or even guys or characters or certain things. Just anything that was introduced in wrestling that we thought should have been more popular or should have had better reception. Maybe it takes a few tweaks. Maybe there's something that messed it up, but this is all of our takes on that. So we're going to be giving our top 10.
Yep.
First, before we do all that, we're going to bring back a segment that we did a while back, and we're going to start doing this weekly again called Worker of the Week. Whereas me, Doug, and Eric are all going to pick one guy or female from this past week in wrestling, because we've been watching a lot more current stuff lately. And whether it's a manager, it doesn't – just because it's worker, it could have been a promo. It doesn't mean the person had to have been in the ring. It just means the best – our favorite wrestler of that week, pretty much.
Yeah.
Our favorite on-air personality, whatever. And it counts from last week's SmackDown, because obviously tonight we have SmackDown. It counts last week's SmackDown, NXT, AEW, all those shows, and Raw.
Yeah.
So with that being said, our first worker of the week, Doug, who do you have?
I'm going to give it to Swerve Strickland just because he won the title.
Okay.
I do think that they kind of put him in a throwaway match Wednesday night. I mean, obviously, because there was something else they wanted to do.
Yes.
But, I mean, and I'm not a Swerve Strickland fan. I think, to be honest with you, like, he's Kofi Kingston with a shitty attitude.
Okay. R-Truth thought he was Kofi, too.
Yeah. He's an even cockier Kofi.
Yeah.
So personally, I don't like the guy. But he's the worker of the week just because, like, he got a big moment. He does work hard.
And I saw the match. It was good. And I also saw the AEW match. I would agree with the general population right now that how do you present a world champion like that?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I do think that Swerve Strickland winning the world title was a big deal. He's the first African-American AEW world champion. He beat a tough-ass fucking guy, and now he's got the ball, and we're going to see what Swerve can do with it. And I'm very excited for this title reign. I've been watching AEW, and it's been fun, and it's been fun seeing Swerve's rise and Swerve's title reign. It is puzzling to me that you bring him out at 8:10 for the second segment of the show to do a match with, you know, I know it's Kyle Fletcher, right, or Fletcher?
Yeah.
I know he's the Ring of Honor TV champion, and that, I'm sure, has some prestige as well, but this is your top guy. You're putting him with a kind of a ham and egg, and like, it just, like, why not do, and I get it, you're not WWE, so why do you need to have the big, so you don't need the Cody video package, and everyone chanting, thank you, Swerve, and you're the wrestling company. So I get the fundamental idea, because you put wrestling above everything, to let's have our world champion go out, and before he does anything, he wrestles, and he wrestles a match. I understand that. And I understand that the main event angle, which I loved, by the way, which I'm going to give it flowers in a few minutes, but I get that that has to take precedence. I get that that has to end the show. And no offense to the WGP Championship and Moxley and Hobbs, and I thought that match was good too. But it's your world champion.
Yeah.
He probably should be towards the end of the show.
Right.
Unless he's going to do a talking segment or something like that, or a celebration or something. But if he's wrestling on the show, he should probably be presented at the end and very important. And he kind of wasn't.
Right.
I do have faith in him. He didn't do anything. He just wrestled the match and honestly put over this guy a little bit and let Kyle get a lot of moves in. And it's like, this is your top guy. So I do get the criticism with that, but Swerve Strickland, I do think, is he could be the champion that helps AEW out of this little slump they've been in. And with the storytelling, the way it's going, and everything that they're doing that seems to be on the up and up now, and I know I was just shit-talking him last week, but that's the beauty of pro wrestling. I think Swerve is a good flag bearer for them.
Yeah.
So I agree with your pick.
I agree with that.
Eric, who's your worker?
He was one of my choices.
Okay. Who do you got, Bubba?
I got Will Ospreay.
Hell of a match with
Brian Danielson. Probably one of the matches of the year. So, yeah, I give it to Will Ospreay. He's probably top three wrestler right now in wrestling. Cody and whoever you want to name the third one.
Yeah, I think Will Ospreay is definitely proving, and he's going to be another one for AEW. He's going to be crucial for AEW's future, especially since they have Okada, the other big signing, kind of in this group with the Bucks. So he's not going to be as big of a – not that whole angle definitely is more Jack Perry and the Bucks than it is Okada. No offense to Okada, but he's kind of a bit player in that storyline right now. Maybe it gets bigger. I don't know. But – Ospreay seems to be the best big money signing they've had so far.
Yeah.
And Ospreay has put on, and even though, I'm one of the people that thought he was a fucking idiot for calling out Triple H. Shut the fuck up. But the match with Danielson and the way he's able to do that high-flying style but also make every move mean something and also really sell, and it just felt like a true love letter to pro wrestling, seeing those two wrestle. It didn't seem like some indie bullshit. They weren't just doing nothing for nothing's sake. It was a well, drawn-out match.
Yeah.
So I will give it to Ospreay.
Yeah. I think, too, and this is where, I think you should pay more attention, especially guys that can wrestle, really well.
Yeah.
Pay more attention to what goes on in the ring, especially for AEW because they call themselves a wrestling company. Pay more attention to what they do in the ring than what is said behind the scenes or
100%. But I do think, and I think to the people that are AEW doesn't do stories, including myself, it's just wrestling and dream matches. There's not a lot of stories. They are trying to do stories now. So whether you like them or not, they are putting together stories. They have this big story with the Elite going on. So there are stories being developed right now. I don't know if that's the angle you go with Will Ospreay or if you should just focus on the matches, but they are trying to do their best with storytelling. And to me, you need storytelling for wrestling. A great match is a great match, but you got to care about it. And, and even though the build-up, the program with Danielson and Ospreay wasn't really nothing, the things they did in the ring made me care about it.
There's only two people that could ever get away with telling, with doing their storytelling wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair.
Oh, I'd even say Bret Hart.
Yeah, because Bret Hart was not necessarily good with character work.
But he could tell that story within a half hour.
Yeah. He wasn't good with character work, but he could tell the story in the match.
Yes.
You could also say that Randy Savage, if he just went into a cold match, he could still tell a good story with how good he could wrestle, or Curt Hennig. Guys like that. And it's just more with Will Ospreay, the whole thing, he's the one that chose not to go to WWE. Okay. And I think Triple H kind of took that personal. That's why Triple H said what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, and Will Ospreay, and this is the thing, and I kind of get why Tony Khan, Tony Khan gets a lot of flack because he feels the need he has to stick up for himself every time somebody like an Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Or mainly Bischoff. He doesn't ever respond to Cornette.
Yeah. And the thing with Bischoff, and I like Eric Bischoff, and I respect his opinion, and I'm not the podcaster to go against other podcasters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff is wrong on this one. I saw the video. He called the angle the worst thing he's ever seen in an abortion of a wrestling. And no, you're wrong. This Jack Perry shit worked. It was great. And it makes sense to show the video now. It's the long-term storytelling that Eric's been bitching about. They're giving it to him, and he's still bitching. So whatever you want to do. But Jack Perry and that smug face that he's had, he almost made my worker of the week. The only reason I'm not doing it is because we're all AEW so far. But Jack Perry has proven himself, and he might be a top heel. And you give him a couple months, and you might be able to build to a pretty awesome program with Perry and Swerve.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and I was telling you this in the car, and so I'll repeat it. I really do believe, and this might go for like a lot of people, not just Bischoff, but Bischoff especially. Bischoff, I really truly believe that there is like a little voice in his head that like even if he wants to say something about or good about AEW, if he likes something, like there's like this voice in his head that filters what he says. To turn it into a criticism.
Yeah.
Because he cannot bring himself, because it's in his head. Because I guarantee you, he is showing up on WWE's draft tonight. They've done the thing now, like they did it last year, where different people come out and announce the picks.
Yeah, he might do it.
Okay. So I got a feeling he's in Cincinnati for this draft.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, but I personally believe that he is just like, that there's just something in his head that's just like, all right, you're going to compliment AEW, but here's what's going to come out of your mouth. Like, you cannot compliment AEW. Like,
yeah.
We don't like that. And it's the same thing. And like, for as much as he bitches about Dave Meltzer, him and Dave Meltzer are the same fucking person.
Yeah, just on opposite ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure I'm going to upset a lot of Bischoff fans. But
I like Bischoff too, but
true. Like, he's bitching. Like, he bitches about Dave Meltzer, but like him and Dave Meltzer, their heads are the same. Are the same. You know. Are in the same position in both their asses. So, like, and here's the thing. Like, I'm not a big AEW fan. I think Tony Khan is a goof.
Yes, you do.
But I do like what he did. I do like the fact that he got himself involved in this angle, and now he's trying to tell a story and, you know, wearing a neck brace while being interviewed today.
Yeah, or, he's selling it, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yep. I do feel like the only criticism I actually have for Tony Khan is the fact that he is letting Bischoff get to him.
Yeah.
And
but also, Bischoff's show has become an hour and a half of ripping AEW every week. That's
even,
all he does.
Even if they have a topic, like, they had a topic one time, or a couple months ago, they had the topic of Super Brawl 9. Right, it was about a 2-hour and 15-minute show, so it's like, okay, they're really going to go in depth about Super Brawl 9. It was an hour of him bitching about AEW. It's like you're taking away from
talking point,
the topic that people want to hear you talk about, that people are tuning in to hear you talk about, to bitch about something that. You know, who can, we get it. You don't like it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You nobody tells you. Nobody tells you you have to review it on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he doesn't like it because it's doing better than his company had done?
No,
because
that's not true. It's all good because WCW really competed and really kicked WWE's ass. And did
okay.
They did beat them for 83 weeks in the ratings.
Okay.
I think he hates him because Tony made the comment that if Ted Turner, who owned WCW and Eric looked up to extremely, he said if Ted Turner knew 1% of the wrestling business that Tony knows, then WCW would have never went out of business. And I think that struck a chord with Eric.
Gotcha.
And then Eric just started launching a war path.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because if Tony got...
If Tony got one...
If Tony got... Or Tony got pissed off.
I think so.
Because Eric said to him, Tony, just shut up and wrestle.
Yeah.
Tony Khan, and again, I'm the last person to talk about taking criticism because I'll tell you to fuck up if you try to tell me to do something better. Now I'll just do it my way and I'll fuck it up and then I'll go and do it your way. after I fuck it up. So, but Tony Khan cannot take criticism very well.
No.
So, and I think it started out as just Bischoff giving Tony friendly criticism.
Yeah.
But then it just escalated because Tony just like, he just wants Bischoff to just stop criticizing him.
Yeah.
But, you know, certain people feel the need to criticize because, you know, there are certain people out there, and I have a couple friends like this. I'm not going to mention names, but if you listen to the show, you know who you are. That, you know, they feel like because they are doing so well in life,
yeah,
they feel like they have the authority to tell you how to run,
yeah,
how to run things in your life, and you don't want to hear that. Tony Khan does not want advice from Eric Bischoff. If he would just come out and say, Eric, I appreciate it, but I don't need to hear this.
Yeah, well, because Eric's just a bitter old man now. And he makes a couple good points. I like his show too, and I like listening to him talk. And he's funny, and I think he's matured a lot. But I feel like he gets into the Eric Bischoff character a lot.
Yeah.
To where he turns into just a prick, and I think he does that to Tony a lot. And I understand that a lot of the criticism makes sense, but you got to give them the flowers when they're doing good.
Yeah.
And this last week was a good angle. Was the whole show great? No, there was some bad spots. Introducing Swerve the way you did was bad. I liked the main event, though. I thought Hobbs and Moxley did their thing.
He wouldn't even give Sting his flowers for the retirement match.
Yes.
He talked about how stupid it was for Darby to do the glass spot. And that's all he harped on. All the stuff that they did that, in his mind, they shouldn't have done. He wouldn't give Sting his flowers for, it was a great way for you to go out.
Yeah. And that's why I don't blame Tony, because he gets pretty intense with it and talks a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And that's your business. That's my baby. That's my livelihood. Fuck off. But I get where both guys are coming from. My worker of the week isn't actually a worker, but it's somebody that's been very entertaining for a long time. And this past episode of SmackDown last week, and even the week before, but mostly last week, this guy was just ham. I mean, I'm trying to think of the saying, but he was just better than everybody else. And it's Paul Heyman.
Hands above everybody else,
yeah,
or something like that.
And Paul Heyman has been killing it. He's been, for Solo Sikoa, a guy who you have loved to brought up, has lost 36 matches, has lost every single match since he beat the great John Cena.
Yeah.
Every single fucking match. This guy finally gets the spot of the tribal chief and shit, and this bloodline storyline is going so well. And he looks so important, even though he's lost so much. He looks like such a badass right now because of Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman did beautiful acting. The way he's like all scared and shriveling, and Paul Heyman is doing his shit right now.
Yeah. Because Solo Sikoa, again, fat piece of shit. I call him the Samoan Paul Heyman. But he's a Samoan Paul Heyman. He would be, if Paul Heyman were Samoan, and if Paul Heyman did jail time, that would be Solo Sikoa.
I mean, Solo's doing a good job right now, too, though.
Well, and the thing about Solo, too, bringing in Tama Tonga, and then possibility tonight that we could see Jacob Fatu, and Tama Tonga, first of all, The scene last week where they show Kevin Owens' rental car just fucking, like, crushed. Basically, Tama Tonga T-boned him in the parking lot. And, I mean, Nick Aldis pretty much said that your boys better not do this crap again. If they do it again, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, and basically what
he said... You think those consequences
are? Right.
What did you, Eric, what did you just say?
what do you think those consequences are?
I think they're getting drafted to Raw.
It would be. Yeah.
I think they're getting drafted to Raw. Either that, or they're going to take Heyman out in handcuffs. Well, they're not going to be able to get handcuffs on the other two. The other two will fucking bite the cops' heads off.
Yeah. Remember, it'll be an interesting night tonight.
Remember, Tama Tonga, you know how many times officers have tried to arrest Tama Tonga's father?
Yeah.
And he spit out their body parts.
Who's Thomas Tonga's father?
Haku.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure, you know, when your father's a cannibal, I mean, if your father's a cannibal, somehow, like, it is genetic, like, especially if it's his sperm. So I'm pretty sure Tama Tonga inherited that, like, he could bite a cop's nose off if he wanted to. So, like, you're not going to put them in a cop car.
No.
Solo's not going to fit in a cop car. He's so fucking fat. All
right.
Well, I could say that from the comfort of my own home. He's not going to show up at the door.
No, I know. But, yeah, Paul Heyman's my pick.
Yeah.
He's been doing great work lately.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
He definitely has. I can't wait to see what happens tonight, especially if Jacob Fatu debuts.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, it was almost Jack Perry. I like that angle.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our top 10, gentlemen. Top 10 wrestling things that we think should have worked.
All right, so I did kind of half of like what I think should have worked and just like what didn't work.
Okay.
You're
really great at these top 10s.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because, like, when I asked the question, it's like, all right, stuff that we – because I asked you, I said, is it stuff that we liked but it didn't work? And you said no.
Okay. So now it's getting put on me, too.
So I basically just said, like, stuff that didn't work. Now, a lot of the stuff I did like.
Okay.
So
– but you think it should have worked, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
there could have been stuff that would have worked.
All right. Eric, you go first since Doug's already fucking up the list.
Yeah, I was going to ask to go first anyway. I have Ricky Starks. They had a star in him, but they excused it by CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. After that, they didn't do anything with him. They put him with, what's his name? Tall guy. What's his name? Shit.
Who's this?
Big Bill.
Okay, Big Bill.
Big Bill, thank you. They put him in a tag team. They won the tag team titles, and then they dropped them, and he hasn't been seen since. So they dropped the ball there. I thought they had a star in Ricky Starks. I still think they do, but I think he's leaving. So I think they dropped the ball there. I think they had a chance to really have something with Ricky Starks. Because he was over at that time when he was feuding with Punk and Bryan Danielson when Collision started.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'll tweak my list as we go along.
You don't have to tweak your list. Just give me what you have.
My number 10 is PN News.
Okay.
All right. So the funny thing about him was, so the PN News gimmick, the PN News character, is because this is around the time that Vanilla Ice was kind of getting hot. So WCW wanted its own version of a rapper. But Dusty also felt like, well, baby, I think not only should it be a rapper, but I think the rapper should be fatter than me. So it was, you know, a big guy, 400 pounds.
Well, PN.
Yeah. And I, to be honest with you, I liked the gimmick because, you know, I was a kid and I was stupid. So it kind of, you know, it got over with me. But then, like... But it didn't work because, one, he couldn't work. He was 403 pounds. He couldn't really He couldn't really move that well because he wasn't that 403 that, he wasn't that 403 that was agile, you know, like Yokozuna before Yokozuna, you know, really, you know, hit old country buffet three times a day. PN News was slow and couldn't move. So I feel like the gimmick would have worked better for, like, John Cena. John Cena was the perfect white boy rapper.
Yeah.
I mean, his work, it wasn't necessarily great, but he also, like, he could cut the promos better. I mean, PN News going, yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
Yeah, it was never going to work because it didn't make sense. And the Rap Master, which is very corny. It's one of those things that's like when people think about wrestling not having its finger on the pulse, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing about it. And, like, he just and, again, I like the guy, and I'm friends with him on Facebook. And, I mean, he's a nice guy and all that, but, like, he just, the gimmick just couldn't get over, and it's because of, you know, he just, the work rate wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, like you said, it was corny.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that's Doug's number 10, PN News.
Yeah.
The Rat Master. All right, next, my pick. My number 10 of some things I thought should have worked, the 7 gimmick in WCW.
Didn't Dusty get fired right before they brought Dustin in?
Yeah, he did. And it was basically like, it was a creepy, now this character was, it was weird, but they were doing vignettes of Goldust. It was Goldust coming into WCW, Dustin Rhodes. And they were trying out another character, him and Russo. And a lot of it was his idea. And he's in this, like, all-white makeup and this, like, black hat. It was a cool look to me. Without the hat, he did look like Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
And when he brought that up on television, it's like, okay, that is true. You do look like Uncle Fester. But besides that, I thought it was a great look. I thought it was a nice, creepy gimmick. The vignettes were a little weird with him, like, outside the little boy's window, like holding the hand in the window and having to let it, he's like, you joined the, you know, like the weird shit.
Yeah.
Like, whatever he was saying to the little fellow. But it was all like, the whole demonic thing in this, like, we think of the great, like, Bray Wyatt stuff and, like, even, like, some of the Broken Matt Hardy stuff. And as far as, like, creepy gimmicks, I think that this could have been one of the better ones. I thought it had the ability to not be corny like a boogeyman or something. I thought it could have been really good. But the fact is, it got axed on the cutting room floor because the network didn't like it. Because the standards and practices didn't like that, the whole stuff with the little boy and the vignettes, and they thought they were going too far. So they said axe the character. So, but they had, it was like $50,000 to do that entrance, the grand entrance where he floats to the ring. So they had to do it at least once. And Russo, being Russo, told Dustin to just shoot when he got out there and say the character sucks and we'll dead the character forever. So that's what they did. But that entrance turned out perfect before that. Like, it was just, I thought it was really good. It could have been good shit.
It could have been. But again, you know, you said a $50,000 entrance. WCW, like, AOL, Time Warner, whatever the fuck they were known as at the time, were trying to cut fat wherever they could. And the most fat they could cut was in WCW.
Yeah.
Because WCW was starting to lose more money than it was making. I don't even know in 99 if they still own the Braves and the Hawks or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they had the hockey team, too. They had the Thrashers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out. They had them twice, I think.
Yeah. So, like, they had all these other interests, and Cartoon Network was becoming a huge hit, and all that to where they're just like, all right, you know, fuck the wrestling company, you know, because at this point they had phased Ted out. Ted Turner was not really a factor anymore.
Yes.
So he just like, it's so they're like, and Ted was the one keeping the wrestling company alive. So when they were able to phase him out, that's when they started really fucking with WCW.
But I do think if they would have let it chill and gave it some time to work with it, it would have been awesome. If they would have given the character legs.
Yeah.
I feel like that character had legs.
Yeah, it's just, it came at a bad time because, like, if you needed money to do that character, that was just money that AOL Time Warner was not willing to part with.
Yeah. All right. What's your next pick, Derek? Number nine.
Number nine is the original idea of the Judgment Day with Edge. I thought they scrapped this too early. They kicked him out too early. But then again, the Judgment Day now has been successful. So it's like, but I think the original idea would have been cool too.
Oh, Edge's Judgment Day, a more supernatural deal?
Well, that wasn't even... Well, remember, that was... that was around the time when, towards the end of 100% Vince.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And Vince was fucking with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when they wanted it to be more supernatural, and Edge said, okay, this is stupid, and Vince said, okay, then you're out. Like, the original idea, yeah, it would have been cool, but I think any gimmick that Vince was working on towards the end of that run...
Yeah.
...was him just losing his fucking mind.
Yeah, he did a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah. So, like, it's just... So, you know, to say that, like, who knows what this Judgment Day would have been, they wouldn't be over like they are now. Triple H was able to save the Judgment Day by adding that little mullet-headed moron.
Yeah, but I do agree with Eric. It would have been interesting to see what Priest, Edge, and Rhea would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except with Edge, it's a smart guy, and he has, like, these different ideas, so it would have been interesting to see what his ideas would have been.
I wish he would have stayed. I don't like him in AEW. I've talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think if Edge would have stayed on and, like, Triple H would have gotten a hold of the gimmick and would have made it, because I do think Triple H helped save Judgment Day, because I do believe that with Vince at the helm, Judgment Day would be screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. My next thing, my number nine, or you go. You go.
Okay.
Doug's number nine.
I was going to say, just because I messed up the concept of the list skipping over on me.
No.
All right. So this is one that, like, just didn't work, but I kind of did like it.
What?
The NWA and the WWF.
Okay.
All right. And here's, like, the whole concept of Vince Russo saying, oh, this only became a thing because I wanted to prove to Jim Cornette that it wouldn't work. Okay. So you're going to do something. You're going to bring guys in. And you're going to bring in NWA championships.
Yeah.
Just to prove to Jim Cornette that the NWA is not really a thing anymore. Here's the thing, is that, like, I feel like if they would have brought Dan Severn in right away, because Dan Severn was the NWA champion.
Yeah.
If they would have brought him in right away and had him and Jarrett on the same team,
it might have worked out.
It might have worked out a lot better. I feel like because they started something that they wanted to fail, just because they wanted to stick it to the guy who likes traditional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, like that should have been a red flag to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And maybe it's, you know, I know Vince's favorite color now is brown, and maybe it should have been a brown flag, but for shit.
Yeah.
We understood.
Just clarifying. But, like, there was no reason to get guys' hopes. There was no reason to bring in the Rock and Roll Express to, you know, just because you wanted them to fail.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There was no reason to split up, you know, Bradshaw and Wyndham. You know, a lot of people were saying that was a failed experiment, but I liked the new Blackjacks.
Yeah.
I bought the damn figure for Christ. I mean, I'm going to sell it on eBay, but I bought the damn figure for Christ's sake. Okay?
Yeah, the NWA I thought could have been cool. Yeah. If done differently, it might have meant something.
If it wasn't brought in by some dipshit who maliciously did not want it to work because he wanted to flip the traditional wrestling guy off.
Like you're messing
with people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Just to tell one other person to fuck off.
Yeah.
If
it was presented in a different way, I think it could have worked. But it does feel like it is like the sore thumb of the Attitude Era. Like you go back, you see that like, this doesn't fit with everything else.
Yeah, because I remember even too, like as far as like that NWA era goes, there was no marketability because I think there was only one figure made of like that. NWA era Jarrett, and that's the Bendham.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't make any figures of the Rock and Roll Express. They didn't make any figures of the New Midnights.
Yeah.
I mean, Cornette had a figure, but that was done, like, the year before.
Yeah.
There was nothing made for Wyndham. I mean, Severn got stuff later on, but it was just, but, like, my point is that, like, there was no upside. It was just basically done because Russo wanted to prove to Cornette that it didn't work.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's how you prove to a guy that it's not going to work. Just don't fucking do it.
Exactly. All right.
Bro.
My turn. Something that, and this is a case of Vince not wanting his own talent to get themselves over. And my number nine is a young man named Zack Ryder, now known as Matt Cardona, who has been hot at several points in his career without WWE pushing or booking or doing any of that, and he had to do it on his own. The first time was that Long Island IC, that YouTube show that was killing it, and people liked it, and he was becoming popular, and the fans were demanding him. So Vince said, all right, we'll give him a one-month U.S. title reign and then fuck him over and do some have Cena fuck his girlfriend, and then we're going to fuck this kid off. And we're going to have Kane send him to the gates of hell to drag him under the ring. And it's like, you had somebody here. You had a talent, especially in that era, they weren't making stars. Yeah. They weren't making stars in that era, in that PG era. And you had a guy who made himself, who just like when he was struggling at first, he came up with the idea for an edgehead. He made himself on YouTube, and he got himself over, and you rejected that, and you stopped his push. To me, that will never make sense to me.
You remember how they stopped the push, right?
I just stated a couple things, but how did they... Are you talking about the Michael Cole thing?
Yeah. When they were going to do the main event, and the main event was a six-man. It was Alberto, Miz, and I believe Dolph versus Daniel Bryan, CM Punk and Zack Ryder, and Vince McMahon, the instructions given to Michael Cole were talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Talk so much shit that people turn their TVs off. I want this to be the lowest rated segment ever in the history of Raw. because I need a reason to take the title off Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole, because that was around the time of Twitter and all that, and people were bitching at Michael Cole on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because Twitter, like, they started really using Twitter, or WWE started really using Twitter.
Yeah, after that one thing they tried didn't work. What was that one social media website that they, like, partnered with for a second?
Tout, I believe?
Yeah, Tout. Yeah, that didn't work out. But, I think that Zack Ryder, not like he could have made a event at WrestleMania that year or anything, but he was hot. He was becoming something. You answer to the fans for a second, and then you take it all away from him. And the kid never did anything wrong. He kept proving himself. So it never really made sense.
He dropped the ball
and they never really had anything for him after. Like the bro tag team with Mojo Rawley, he's better than that shit.
Was he the one, too, that I got kids or whatever?
No,
that's
Heath Slater.
Oh, okay.
But it's just Zack Ryder's.
It's similar to Ricky Stark. I mean, not similar, but.
They are similar. It is
similar.
Why
I said about Ricky
Ryder has a lot more fucking talent than Slater.
Yeah.
I'm not saying. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's no offense, but Ryder's, like, he was there a few times. And, like, when they had him win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, and he held it for a day. It's like, they give him a couple moments, but they never really gave him, like, anything to sink his teeth in.
The moment.
Because he was a big deal, and he could have been a big deal. It's like, he had a star, and you let it turn out. All right, Eric, what's your number 8?
CM Punk versus the Authority versus Slash Triple H feud that really never happened because he took his balls and left. But yeah, I thought that could have worked. And I thought Triple H just CM Punk could have worked, but it just didn't. It just didn't. But you had to put Kevin Nash into it too.
So
I thought that.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I thought that should have worked if they had left Kevin Nash out of it, and then if CM Punk hadn't quit, and they would have had a good match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree.
I think what it was just. Do you really think that CM Punk and Kevin Nash would have had that good of a match?
No, I think CM Punk took weight.
He's not talking about the Summer of Punk, though. He's talking about the Authority stuff when Punk walked
out. Yeah, but
out.
Then he brought in Kevin Nash. Or he brought up Kevin Nash.
Who, Eric just did?
Yeah.
Oh,
I said that was part of why Triple H and Punk didn't happen, or is that?
No, that's the Summer of Punk, isn't it?
Yeah, Kevin Nash was part of the Summer of Punk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forget about that part. But yeah, Triple H versus Punk feud should have happened at WrestleMania, but as I said, he left. But yeah.
The whole feud, so Punk left supposedly because he wanted time off because he was hurt and he felt like he couldn't go on the road anymore. And they said, no, we need you for WrestleMania. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to go home. I need to heal up.
Yeah.
So, and here's
it's ironic
thing.
Because he.
Go ahead, Eric.
Sorry. I was just saying it's ironic because he missed this year's WrestleMania because of injury. And he really wanted to be there this time.
So, he just, like, if it would have been Punk and Triple H at WrestleMania, then the original plan was Punk and Triple H to WrestleMania. Punk wins. Punk then feuds with Batista. And it's Punk and Batista for the world title at SummerSlam.
Yeah. And I don't blame him for not being happy with that booking. And I don't blame him for thinking that's kind of dumb. But, and I think it could have been all right and it could have worked, but I don't know. I think Punk leaving was probably what was best for Punk. And it made the return that much better.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Daniel Bryan right. was a much better story.
That year.
That year, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Now, he fucked it up by getting hurt. But
yeah.
That's also what happens when you're fucking, like, put through tables and fucking, like, all this shit, you know, goes on and all that. And you're running your body ragged.
Yep.
And I've kind of called it, like, even though it was a great moment, because he got hurt not that long after, I kind of called it a wasted moment. But, I mean, with Punk, again, if Punk would have gotten all that, you know, the fans would have bitched about that anyway. Because they weren't getting Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
They didn't really want Punk. They wanted Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what's your pick, Dougie?
Yeah. 205 Live.
I can see that. That was a good showcase for the Cruiserweights.
It was a good showcase for the Cruiserweights, and it was something... They had a really good crop of talent there. The issue is that, again, a dipshit named Vince. I don't think he really saw the belief in the, which, by the way, like, not only 205 Live was their main show, but also being able to showcase themselves on Raw, you know, afterwards.
Yeah.
And on Raw, too, because you had 3 hours of Raw to fill. But, you know, it's just, like, also, too, because 205 Live for at least, like, that first year. So when it started in 2016, up until about 2018, when they did that WrestleMania where Cedric won the Cruiserweight title from Ali.
Uh-huh.
Or in the tournament or whatever. Like, when they did that Cruiserweight tournament leading up to WrestleMania 34, that was a really good tournament. And
yeah,
but, like, afterwards, it's just like there was no emphasis on the title anymore.
No.
Because a lot of those guys were getting released because they weren't getting the showcase on Raw anymore.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like they were just getting fucked with. But, like, they were getting... You had 1 hour of TV a week. It wasn't enough to showcase that division that had like 15, 16 guys in it.
And there's a couple fundamental problems with that hour is right after SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's after SmackDown. So the fans have already been in the building for 2 hours. They saw the people they wanted to see on SmackDown. And now you're bringing out the little guys. So the excitement's not going to be quite as much there as you would. It's not a full hype crowd that are here to see these guys.
Right.
That's an extra show.
Yeah, it would have made more sense, I think, to tape it before SmackDown.
Yeah, I agree. I liked a lot. I even liked Enzo's little heel title run. I liked the Pac stuff that made the Cruiserweights. I liked the stuff with Rich Swann. Tozawa came into his own there.
I really liked, until I found out he was a piece of shit, Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Is he a piece?
He was one of the people that was ousted because of the Me Too movement. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Me Too movement actually affected a lot of UK wrestlers.
Damn. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought the Cruiserweights had some good stuff there for a while, but, yeah, I agree. I think it should have worked, too.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the UK wrestlers had to do all this horrible stuff. They couldn't just rob banks like Paige's father did.
Yeah. All right, my turn. Ready?
Sure.
I have the Nexus.
Well, you got one guy you can blame for that.
Who?
I mean, you can't see him.
Oh, Cena?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say he cut that on the cutting room floor. I think other people have talked against that, though, too. I thought Nexus could have worked. They never had more hype than they have with the Netflix. I think there's a few problems with that, too. One, not all the guys could go and were, like, stable ready to make it a big thing. Like, you had duds in there, for sure. Michael Tarver's a big one that comes to mind. And also, like, Darren Young really wasn't ready yet. And certain people, like, Skip Sheffield was young. Like, Wade Barrett was the one that seemed like he could really be something.
Well, yeah, because he could talk and he could
wrestle.
And he could wrestle.
And he was in the main event. And he was doing, I liked the feud with him and Cena. You should have put the belt on.
Yeah, instead of putting the belt on.
I agree with that.
Like, the Nexus storyline with him being champion and, like, the leader of the Nexus, that would have worked.
Yep.
You either make him champion or you have him win the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't do either one.
No. So, they fucked that up.
Yeah. And nobody else really in that group was really, like, ready for that spot. Except for, like, Otunga could talk. Justin Gabriel could work.
Oh, yeah.
Heath Slater could take orders at Wendy's. Skip Sheffield could eat orders at Wendy's.
About the Ryback.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael Tarver and Darren Young were just there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really think it should have worked. But I can see why it didn't, too. All right, Eric. Number 7.
Warlow.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's on his way out. Just like Ricky Starr. I think they dropped the ball and Warlow, because he was over. It's just like Ricky Starr was. It was just on and off with him. They put a TNT title on him and take it off, put it on. It was like they just dropped the ball on him. And he could have been a big superstar for them, and they just didn't.
I really think
I don't know why, but
yeah. I think the issue there is that, like, he couldn't really talk, but, like, he had the powerbomb sympathy.
Yeah.
And, like, that was cool for a while, but you can only get that over
so much.
Yeah.
That's true.
But he was red hot, and that's when you talk about storytelling and guys being made and stuff. His shit with MJF was hot.
Yeah,
that's
more
of that. You know, he's been hot at a couple things to where he's the guy. And then you go to that match with him and Samoa Joe, and you're like, what the fuck happened to this thing? Like, he should have been something, man. And the fact that Wardlow is
he should have kept the TNT title on him.
He was a big deal there for a minute there. And it just never ended up materializing.
Yeah, I mean, they even gave him Arn Anderson for a little while.
Yeah.
And it didn't click.
No, it didn't. I agree. I said that's a good pick. I think that could have been something. All right, Doug, number 7.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So worry about getting skipped. You don't even have it loaded up.
Heavy Metal Van Hammer.
Oh, a childhood favorite of yours.
Yeah. But the issue there is that Dusty felt like he had, because Heavy Metal Van Hammer was created for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have this goof who's playing a fake guitar and all that, and bobbing his head like he's at the Headbangers Ball and all that, and like, Dusty felt like he could get an Ultimate Warrior without the face paint.
Yes. He couldn't.
But Van Hammer's issue was that, yes, he couldn't work like the Warrior.
Yeah.
But at least, like, Warrior had, like, unique promos.
Yeah.
That even though you couldn't understand what the hell he was saying, like, the kids were just enthralled by what he would say. And, like, he had the...
It was intense, too.
Intense, and you had, like, you know, the colorful gear on him.
Yeah.
Van Hammer had black tights.
Yeah.
Black tights, blonde hair. He basically looked like Hulk Hogan, but less steroids.
Yeah.
So the kids, you know, he wasn't relatable for the kids. If instead of trying to make him a baby face, Ultimate Warrior type, give him a manager. Make him into, like, another, like, Lex Luger type guy. And, you know, go like that, because just have him do power moves. Don't try to make him do a 10-15 minute match.
Yeah. There's no need for it.
Yeah. So that's where they went wrong with him, is because Dusty was trying to get another Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Which we didn't even need the one.
I agree with you. I like Van Hammer, too. I thought he's fun.
Yeah.
Who played Van Hammer? Was it Dusty?
No.
Oh, okay. You said it. You were talking about Dusty at the same time.
Dusty's the one that created the character.
Oh, okay. That's why I thought he played him.
You ready for my pick?
Yeah.
My number 7 is, and a lot of people might not remember it. You might, Doug. Who knows? The Sean O'Hare Devil's Advocate gimmick from 2003. Did not last very long.
Yeah, because then they put him with Piper, right?
Yeah, they did the Piper shit like right after that. They got away from the Devil's Advocate. But when they started doing the vignettes of him talking shit, telling people to do things that are immoral, like cheat on your wife and not pay taxes and stuff like that, it was something different. It was a fun character, and him getting Spanky to run around the building naked was funny.
Yeah.
And someone that's like the opposite of a role model, I think, would work in wrestling terms. And someone that's like presented in a good way in a suit with a nice camera, and he's like, you should do bad shit. I think that's kind of cool. I think it should have worked.
It probably could have, but also too, it's just something. Unfortunately, it just never clicked, and it might have had to do with the guy himself.
But how did it not click? You didn't give a chance to click. You never did anything in the ring, really. You just did vignettes and shit, and it's still beloved by a lot of fucking fans. That is like when you talk about the cult classics in WWE history, that gimmick is one of them.
Yeah,
where people wanted to see more of that, and him and Piper just never really worked, because you just needed someone for Cap. They thought he'd get the Captain America Hogan rub,
right?
But he didn't, and it sucked. So the Devil's Advocate, I thought, was the best thing. O'Hare coming out of WCW, and you guys are, I don't know how to work with these guys. You had something for O'Hare that could have worked, and if you could have kept expanding on it, it could have been good.
Yeah, that was the issue right there, is that they didn't know, and that's the issue, I think, with a lot of guys, is they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, did he even ever have a match as the Devil's Advocate?
Not as the Devil's Advocate. I mean, he worked as, he did this, you know, he had matches as Piper's crony. But I don't think ever as a Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. It's just like you had something for him. You could have did something with it. I was between this and Mordecai. Because I liked... Because I thought that would have... The fact that you have this big hulking dude that's also kind of like demonic a bit, but he wears all white and he like acts like he's like a Jesus, like torch-bearing, like against the dark. And that fucking... The darkness of the Undertaker and the bright white, like with the spotlight of Mordecai and stuff, and those two entrances against each other. You tell me that couldn't have been badass for WrestleMania?
I would have like that for WrestleMania.
Like, and you barely gave him any time to, like, develop. Like, and then you brought him back as a fucking vampire. But it's like, you're going to give Heidenreich fucking 4 months and, like, let him try, but you can't give fucking Mordecai a few weeks because he looks slow. He's a big dude wrestling. What do you, like, Undertaker looked slow at first.
Yeah, and then there was the one match where he lost to Rey Mysterio, and then that was...
Oh, did he do a job? I don't remember him doing
it. He did one job to Rey Mysterio, and then that was the end of him.
And then they never did him again.
Correct.
Yeah, like, I just think a lot of those Ruthless Aggression era and, like, SmackDown gimmicks are interesting, but those two in particular, like, the Devil's Advocate and Mordecai, Devil's Advocate, Sean O'Hare, I think could have gone a lot further, especially if you did crazy things with it. Because you can get him to do, especially, like, think of if he was around with John Cena. And then, like, if that lasted a couple of years and John Cena's this ultimate good guy and you have this other guy that's trying to turn Cena heel.
Right.
It'd be way better than the Kane Embrace the Hate shit.
Yeah.
Just my opinion, Dougie.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you.
All right.
Good one.
Eric, number six.
Number six or seven?
Is it seven? I think it's...
We just did seven.
Yeah, I think it's six. No,
oh,
it's
six. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, six.
Yeah, six. The Pinnacle in AEW. I thought that had something. MJF, the FTR, Immortal. I thought that could have gone somewhere, but I thought they diminished that too soon. I really did.
I'll tell you the one thing wrong with that. Actually, there's two things. Tully Blanchard, who did the Vince McMahon, I've got poop in my pants walk. Tully Blanchard and Sean Spears. You get rid of those two fucks, this would have worked. Because Tully Blanchard is, I know he was great as a, you know, everybody praises him as a horseman and as Arn's partner. But without the horseman and without Arn, Tully Blanchard is dog shit. And Sean Spears has never been anything. So those were the two issues with the Pinnacle.
He's a perfect 10, Doug.
He's a perfect... yeah, he's a perfect negative 10.
Yeah. I get it. I don't think... I like the chairman. I didn't mind. I think Sean Spears could be on one of these.
The
lists.
Chairman is Laparca, nobody else.
Laparca didn't make as much noise as Sean did hitting Cody with it, though.
Well, they didn't call Laparca.
Yeah.
If they would have,
I don't think
he would have
made as much sense. But I thought, like, because when Sean did that, hit Cody with the chair, Cody's bleeding the real blood. Sean was kind of made after that. And Sean could have did some stuff, but then Cody beat him the next time, which I'm fine with. But I see what you're saying, though. And I see what you're saying, Eric. I do think the Pinnacle was a cool heel group. I just think it came too close with AEW, and WWE's done this a lot, too, but you can get stable fatigue, and I think it was too close to after Jericho running shit with the Inner Circle. And I thought the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle was a fun feud. But the fact that it fucking turned into, you know, it's this group and then this group. And then you have the Elite, and the Elite are bad guys now, too. But now you have the Pinnacle and the Death Triangle. And I just think it became too many gimmicks that they all got lost in the shuffle.
Too many,
yeah.
Too many stables. Yeah.
Right, too many stables. All right, my turn. After Dougie.
Man, you really do not want me to go at all, do you?
Hey, you tried to call me out last time, and I did the right order, so.
Yeah.
Not all of us are perfect.
Speaking of perfect, it brings me to my number six. Mr. Perfect being selected. Well, I have his face run on here, but it really just starts with him being selected as Macho Man's partner at the 92 Survivor Series.
Okay.
The Mr. Perfect character should not be babyface, like, at all.
Yeah.
Now, I get when they had him be the partner, it was pretty much Warrior you know, Warrior gets fired for being on the list of that doctor in England who, you know, got busted with steroids.
Yes.
So they get rid of him, and it's like they really don't have anybody else because Davey Boy gets fired, so they had to cut Davey Boy's match.
Yeah.
Which actually I think was going to be – the match was going to get cut anyway because Mountie didn't want to do the job, so Mountie quit. So they took the title off Davey Boy, and I don't know if they were going to try to put Davey Boy in Warrior's spot or not, but then when Davey Boy got, you know, implicated too, it took them both out. So you really didn't have anybody else because all the other major baby faces were working. Hogan was doing movies, and Savage had already, you know, kind of sworn off being friends with Hogan. You know, Duggan was a commentator.
Yeah.
Who was having issues with Heenan and Perfect, but it wouldn't make sense because he really hadn't been working that much.
Yeah.
Crush wasn't, like, they didn't see Crush at that level yet, even though him and Savage were friends. So it's like, all right, we got to switch Perfect. Who, by the way, had not been in the ring for a year because he had that Lloyd to London policy that took him out of wrestling for a year. It was actually supposed to take him out of wrestling for a couple of years, but they're like, cancel your fucking policy. Because the Lloyd to London policy, like those insurance policies, when you cash in on one of them, the longer you're out of work, like if it's like a 2-year policy, you can't work for that 2 years if you want to collect the whole thing. And so I don't know how long his policy was, but he had to stay out of the ring for a while. And then it was just like, but then when they brought him back in, it was just like, you know what, you know, this is the only choice we have. And the match was okay. There was just no heat to it because nobody gave a shit about Perfect being a babyface.
Oh, they didn't.
So it's just that run was a failure from the start.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody was interested in it in 92.
No, not in Perfect being babyface.
All right. I have a whole company for my number 6. Are we doing a part 2 or are we going to try to squeeze this out in 20 minutes? I'll leave it up to you, Doug.
Do you want to just go through the – we'll do your number 6 and then we'll go through the number 5s?
Sure.
And then we'll do 4-1 next week?
Yes.
Eric, can you even do a show next week or are you going to be in Australia?
I'm not leaving for two weeks.
Okay. So we'll do part 2 next week. My number 6 is a whole company. I have Lucha Underground.
That's a good one.
They're a company that, first of all, they were on Netflix. It's wrestling on Netflix. It's something different. They had, it was a cinematic movie style. You would kill characters off. You would do some, you had some good wrestlers, Del Rio, you know, before he turned out to be a real, real piece of shit. But him right off the WWE run, you had John Morrison as Johnny Mundo. You had a fellow by the name of Prince Puma, as you may know, as Ricochet at the moment. Didn't Thunder Rosa get her start there too?
Under a different name.
I think so.
And you had Super Sexy, or whatever her name is too?
Or
Sexy Star?
Sexy Star.
Sexy Star.
Who was then actually blackballed from wrestling after.
Really?
Yeah, because she did that controversial thing where she shot on Rosemary. TNA's Rosemary in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, she refused, like, she actually tried to break Rosemary's arm.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, all right, fuck this bitch.
But Lucha Underground was something different, it was something fresh, and it was something unique, and it really, really worked.
By the way, Swerve was there, too, as Deadshot or Bloodshot or something.
I mean, those are both licensed characters. I don't know why.
Killshot.
Okay, Killshot. I liked all of it. I thought it was really good, and I thought it was a fun TV show. And it was something different than the regular wrestling product. And it sucks that it's not still around to this very day.
Yeah. It was a good hour of television, but it also told stories too. So it wasn't just wrestling, but it was like a real life. It was a soap opera too, because you had characters dying. And I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like that I wish that that's one thing that WWE would do, is kill off their characters.
The guy that the owner, I think it's an MOW now.
Yeah.
Or whatever he was.
Well, Cesar something.
Yeah.
Cesar?
I think they did some.
Or Caesar,
doing some,
something like that.
I think MOW is doing some like lucha stuff in MOW.
Yeah,
now, so.
Aztec Underground.
Okay.
He's always had his hands on his sides. But, that's my phone. But, okay. I already showed him. Yeah. What are we talking about?
It's your pick.
It's Hummer's pick?
Well, I mean, we were talking about your Lucha Underground pick.
Yeah. Great show. Phenomenal show. Well,
yeah.
Me and Eric were talking. You didn't really give much. But I thought Lucha Underground was a phenomenal show, and I thought it should have lasted a lot longer.
It should have,
yeah,
but also, too, it was on the El Rey Network, too, which that was like filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, but it was on Netflix.
Yeah, the episodes would get uploaded to Netflix. Like, it would premiere on El Rey.
But then it would go to Netflix.
Yes, it would.
Is it still on Netflix?
I don't think it is. I don't think you can find the episodes anymore.
That sucks.
All right, you're number five.
Probably have to YouTube it.
Yeah.
My number five?
I'm not doing nothing.
My number five is Aces and Eights.
Aces and Eights?
So, yeah. I thought this could work. I thought Billy,
you
Billy
like
Ray
the motorbike gimmick, did you?
Yeah, I actually liked it. I thought it could have worked. I mean, it did kind of, but I thought they scrapped it maybe a little too soon. I thought they had something there. Especially because Bully Ray was big, was a fit the character.
I think once they start once they started revealing members, that's when people are just like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is a top heel group, and one of your guys in here is Garrett Bischoff, and then you also have Wes Briscoe.
And wait, Bully fucking Hogan's daughter?
Yeah. And Mike. And it's just, a lot of that just didn't make sense.
Yeah. D-Va being the leader was weird.
Yeah, which is why they brought Bully in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did like the gimmick. I thought it was a better group than Immortal.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And their stupid NWO ripoff.
Yeah. And, like, you know, Aces and Eights, like, actually trying to take over. And then when Bully won the title, and it's like, you know, Aces and Eights started to have more pull than... But then they started running out of baby faces.
Yeah.
Like, Joe wasn't established anymore. Magnus wasn't established yet. AJ could give a shit. You know, they weren't really trying to push James Storm anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they gave up on him.
Right.
Christian Cage still there?
No, Christian was already back in WWE.
WWE, yeah.
So, it's like, the only baby faces you could really have challenge these guys, you know, Bully for the title were Jeff Hardy and Sting.
Yeah.
Because even Van Damme had already left.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Potential.
Dougie, you're number five.
All right. Neville on the main roster. And I'm not talking about his King of the Cruiserweight stuff. I'm talking about beforehand when they first brought him up.
I mean, he was one of those guys, though, like Evan Bourne, that was just a finishing move. It was a cool high-flying move, and that was it.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much personality there.
And that was the issue. Like, if they would have done this whole thing, like, they gave him the personality when they called him the King of the Cruiserweights.
Oh, yeah. The Bastard Pac works.
Yeah.
I mean, AEW's kind of had him, you know, not really doing much, but and he was out for a long time. But the Bastard Pac and the King of the Cruiserweights, Neville, that works.
Yeah. Well, because also, one of the reasons why he couldn't do anything for a long time is COVID protocols, they're different now.
Yeah.
But, like, when the pandemic first happened, it was a fucking pain in the ass to get from, like, especially since he won't relocate to the United States. Like, he wants to live in the UK.
Yeah.
And I think Ospreay's the same.
Ospreay's the same way.
Florida? What?
No, he lives in the UK. He goes back and forth to the UK because he has his wife and kid. Or his girlfriend and kid.
That's like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
That long-ass fucking flight. So, like, and Pac just didn't want to do that all the time. So he's like, fuck it. Like, if you tell me I'm going home, I'm not going to come back for, like, a couple of months.
Yeah.
So, but with him on the main roster, like you said, it was just a finishing move, but they wouldn't let him be like himself. He had to be this baby face who, you know, just wowed people with a finisher.
Yeah. And the stuff with Cody as Stardust and Stephen Amell was pretty fun. But
that stuff was really cool because that basically was written out of a comic book.
Yeah.
So that stuff I did like, but everything else is just like when you bring him up to the main roster and then like his second match in is him losing to Seth Rollins and then he loses to Dolph Ziggler. Then he loses to Sheamus, then he loses to Wade Barrett. It's just like, all right, you're already killing this push. He was the first one of the main roster guys that was just like, okay, like they're bringing him up. He was so over in NXT, but fuck him now.
Yeah.
Him and Adam Rose, like they just like, they should have, like when you get told back in those days, because it was more of a, you know, intimate setting, which it still is. Like, which I'm glad Trick Williams won the NXT title the other night and he's not getting brought up because I don't think he'll get the same reactions on the main roster that he got at the Performance Center, you know, at NXT. Like that crowd.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No. But it's just like, it's a different animal. It's like Trevor Lee said on Busted Open the other day when he was told NXT doesn't matter now.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's true.
It is true. Piece of shit. Whenever you go to the big dance, your past doesn't matter. They're starting to make it matter again.
Put the foot down. I'll put the foot in the mic down.
All right. My turn.
Yep.
I have for my number five pick, the death of Vince McMahon, which was an angle where Vince McMahon went out to his limo after, wasn't it Vince Appreciation Night too?
Yeah, Mr. McMahon, it was actually the 2007 draft.
Yeah.
2007 draft lottery and then Vince McMahon Appreciation Night. And it was just like, it was after he lost the ECW title, so he was already going nuts to begin with.
Yeah. He walks out to his limousine, and his limousine explodes in a big fiery crash, and the mystery for the next week is who killed Mr. McMahon. But then, some asshole, and I'm not trying to make levity of a situation or anything, or make it a joke or anything, but this is a somewhat of a comedy podcast. Some asshole had to kill his family and himself. And
that shows you how bad he thought the gimmick was.
I thought it was great. I was looking forward to that pissed me off as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was sad about Chris Benoit at first until I found out what was going on. I was like, oh, wow. But fucking the fact that we had this mystery on our hands. Who done it? Like, it was, I love whodunits. And it was a cool little story. It's like, yep. Who tried to kill Vince? And is Vince really dead? And Stephanie's going to lead the charge? And who killed my father? And that all got canceled and thrown away because, you know, and we thought that it happened because of something really sad and tragic, but it was really because some guy was a fucking ass. And if we would have known about it a day earlier, they could have wrote him off from history, ignored him, not done the tribute, and then kept through with the angle. And I understand you don't want to do an angle around death when that just fucking happened. But still, the mystery of who killed Mr. McMahon could have gone down.
I was intrigued.
It could have gone down.
That's when I got back into wrestling.
Exactly. It got Eric hooked. So it's one of those storylines that could have really been a really fun ride to go on. It really could have.
Yeah. I think the whole thing was actually supposed to be like they were going to arrest Linda.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know who the culprit was going to be? Like, who blew it up?
It was Vince and Kennedy were faking his own death.
And Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they were going to have Linda arrested. And then it was going to be and then it was going to be revealed. It's like, oh, yeah, Vince and Mr. Kennedy basically staged the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I think them and Coach.
Well, maybe it's good they didn't do it. But that doesn't sound very good at all. But I thought the whole mystery and accusing people and, like, getting Triple H getting grilled and stuff, like, it's your father-in-law, we know the angle here. Like, it could have just been really good. I thought it could have really worked out. And the fact that they didn't do it, I understand completely why, but it would have been a fun angle. With that being said, say goodnight, Doug.
Goodnight, Doug.
We'll see everybody next week for part two of this episode. We're getting ready for the NFL draft and the WWE draft.
Buffalo finally made a pick.
There we go. Eric, I love you.
Love you, guys.
Love you, too. We'll
see everybody next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow.
Promise strength, ain't nobody